Hello, everyone. This is Kathleen Francis, the host of Wise Women on Progressive Radio Voices. And it's my pleasure today to bring a wonderful guest on, someone who I feel has something, as usual, to contribute to our listening audience. And we're always looking for those people that have something to empower their lives, to bring something forward that is useful and can be applied to having your life be more productive or more exciting or more inspiring. And I'm really excited. This is a woman who I actually met in my little boutique and gallery right there in our little old town Cottonwood. And her name is Sheila Neese. And Sheila, just to give you a little bit of a background of her, she actually ran the largest psychic fair organization in New York for 16 years. She was fortunate to work with some of the top psychics in the United States, such as Suzanne Northrup and John Edward, who I also knew, by the way, Deano DeVino, Joyce Keller, and many more. I don't know if you ever knew the wonderful author Jess Stern, who wrote Edgar Casey, The Sleeping Prophet, but I inspired a book that he wrote later called Alpha Brainwaves, Miracle of the Mind. So anyway, that's just some of my background. But anyway, she went on to host one of the first, if not the first, metaphysical show on television. So her connection to this field opened up her interest in the UFO phenomena. And I'm going to explain more about what that reference point is. She's been researching ET information since 1980. She headed up a UFO group for several years and became the Florida director of the National Investigations Committee on UFOs, and was a member of MUFON, the ET Media Group, and Close Encounters Research Organization, and more. So for over a decade, she's worked with the Conscious Life Expo, which is a long-standing expo that is presented every year. And it's the largest metaphysical UFO conference in the United States. So she's very well connected in the UFO field and has met and worked with so many of the regular expert speakers on Ancient Aliens, which is certainly one of my very favorite shows. So with her associates, she'll always share the latest inside information from these contacts on her tours. So after receiving over 100 five-star reviews working as a tour guide for other companies in Sedona, she decided to open up her own company. And what that company does, of course, is to search the skies for UFOs, of which there are many. I have seen some myself. I really have. And many stories, because I wrote the biography of Bob Bradshaw, and there he is as dyed-in-the-wool, old cowboy Arizona guy. And the stories he told me that happened on his ranch and his sons, there is definitely proof for all of what might seem out of the ordinary to most, but it's very real to many of us that had direct experiences. So with that, I would like to welcome Sheila Neese. So welcoming you to the Wise Women podcast today. And I know we're going to have fun doing this. Hi, Sheila.
Hi. You know, it was so exciting because let's see. Obviously, the way I met you was not by accident. they say nothing happens by accident, but I used to live in Florida for a while, and I had a good friend who had a daughter who became very friendly with my daughter, and the four of us would always get together. And Tiffany is the name of the daughter, and they came to town to visit me here in good old Sedona. And they are the type of people who do their due diligence before they go anywhere. They always really scour the internet trying to find great places to go. And then they make a list. So they they made a list. And let's see, it was funny because we went in order of her list the way she found things. And I will tell you that what happened was she ended up going to a place that was right across the street from your store. And we spent a lot of time there. And then we went to the next place on the list and the next place on the list. Well, when we got to your store, we had already been to other places in Cottonwood. And she apologized. She said, "You're not going to believe this, but the place I really, really want to go to is to your store." She said, "Do you mind? Because I know we were there earlier in the day and now we're backtracking." And I said, "No." She said, "I just really get good vibes and I really want to go there." And sure enough, we walked into your place and we had the best vibes. And we were just so amazed with you and everything you had there. And it was just a thrilling, exciting time. And then obviously, you know, when we got into conversation, we found out that we had a lot of things in common. One of which is that when it comes to health and healing, there are alternative ways of doing things. People don't have to go through traditional things that unfortunately are super painful and many times are not successful. So once we found out that you were involved with alternative healing, Tiffany actually exposed the fact that she not only has a brain tumor, but she's suffering from multiple sclerosis and Sjogren's disease and so many other diseases I can't even remember. She's on so many pills and, you know, the poor thing has to take certain pills on certain days. And she already knows that if she takes a certain pill on a certain day, then by a day and a half later, she's going to be sick as a dog. And she can't even, you know, put anything down on her calendar because she knows how dreadful it's going to be. So,
and she's an absolutely gorgeous woman. And just to add a little bit more of the synchronicity to what happened, and what, you know, there's just magic that happens in my shop. And I'm so blessed to always have that wonderful experience. But as it happens, you know, I hand paint on jeans and denim jackets and leather, anything functional that I can grab my hands on. And it was just a few days before that, that I painted a face on a pair of jeans. And it was, Tiffany has this beautiful longer face, not as round as some people. And it's not normally the way that I paint a face. Mm-hmm. And yet I painted her face on those jeans and she walks in the door. And of course she bought those jeans.
She loved everything. She went into your store, loved so many things. I think it was probably half an hour, but just ringing up all the stuff that she purchased. Right. And what I thought was really funny is her mother, whose name is Elaine, she had told her before walking into your store, "Tiffany, you spend so much money already. Really, don't buy anything here. Don't buy anything."
And $300 later.
But she couldn't resist. You really have some great stuff. So it was just so funny, you know.
Well, it's really for me, and Gary Null, of course, this is his network, and he always says everything is energy. And I know she said she just felt drawn to come in. And that's what happens on a daily basis in my sweet little shop, you know. I often will say to people, "I know you think you were coming in to look to see to buy something," which of course they did. But I always say, I think it's really that it's about a connection that is being made when you walk in the door. And definitely. So I definitely, having been with Gary Null on so many occasions with his healing retreats and all of the magnificent research that he does, where, you know, he has, and I have witnessed myself, people with MS, people with cancer, he has the ability through his protocols to make a tremendous impact in the health and well-being of those people who have compromised conditions. So, of course, I immediately talked about that to her and made that connection for her so that she could access the benefits of what Gary has to present. And so, you know, I really appreciate the kind words that you had to say, but, you know, I really feel that we're all here to be of assistance to each other in ways that we don't always know or recognize. And so that was the magic. I mean, I really do live for that magic that happens on a daily basis, really, in my shop. It's just a blessing to me, and I hope to the people that walk through the doors. And so you were part of the wonderful package, my dear Sheila. And when we started talking, I said, and you related about your other aspects of your career life, I said, you know, this is pertinent to what we're all about here on Progressive Radio Network and what Gary Null is always focusing his attention on for healing and well-being. Now, when I started this show and Gary gave this opportunity to me, he and Richard Gale gave me a long list of, you know, world-renowned, accomplished women that they felt would be, you know, wonderful guests on the show for the purpose of, you know, bringing forward this information to the women, or well, to anybody. We're not excluding the guys, or any other gender, God knows. And so I did manage to get so many of these world-class, well-known women on my show. And then people started talking to me, well, there are a lot of people who may not be as well-known on the world stage, but certainly have wonderful wisdom to share. And so that's when I started saying, you know what, they're right. And when I started talking to you, I thought, my gosh, I want you as my guest. And so it's my great pleasure to have you here today. So, Sheila, can we focus a little bit on what piqued my interest, my dear, and tell the world about what you specialize in?
Okay. So I specialize in handwriting analysis. And it's funny because it started when I was very young. You know, whenever you go to a grocery store and you're online and there's five people ahead of you and a lot of people pick up magazines. Well, when I was young, I picked up one of those little Dell books. They were about 5 inches, you know, big.
Yes, I remember.
And, you know, I was waiting my turn to get to the front of the line and it was on handwriting analysis. And I thought, wow, this is so interesting. You could tell personality traits, you know, just by looking at someone's handwriting. And for some odd reason, it triggered my interest. And I started reading more books and going, you know, to libraries, finding out as much as I could. And I will tell you that I was very fortunate because when it came to learning more about it, years ago, I lived in Dallas, Texas, and early 70s. And I got to Dallas, Texas, opened up the paper. And one of the first things I saw was that there was a person named Connie Coleman Gilmore, who was a very well-known handwriting analyst in Canton, Ohio.
Oh, my.
Actually moved to Dallas because she was so popular in Canton that she couldn't have any privacy. So Dallas, and she was offering handwriting classes. And I obviously signed up immediately. Now,
wow.
There were a small group of us. I think there were 8 to 10 people at that time. And what was interesting is we started out with personality traits, and then she mentioned that actually one of her specialties was looking at handwriting for diseases that you could.
That's why I really wanted us to take a look at that, you know, again, because of what we are dealing with on so many levels with, you know, the plethora of conditions that people are experiencing, you know, that Gary has definitely been putting the attention on. But yes, go on to that.
So it ended up being where she actually told us that she had figured out how to tell if someone has cancer.
That is absolutely fascinating.
Yes. And she said that she also was able to detect other diseases in handwriting. So what happened was she told us that what she did is she gave the Canton, Ohio Police Department a copy of that information. She didn't want it to get out. She didn't want people to say, oh, I could tell if you have cancer in your handwriting, you know, and fake people doing that. She knew it was a big specialty. So what I will say is for the group that we were in, she put us through what they call IGAS training. And that's actually the International Grapho Analysis Society. And they are the main society that started looking into handwriting analysis. So I got, I say license, but, you know, a diploma through her, through them years ago. And I found out that there was a person named Alfred Kanfer, who was born in 1901 in Austria. Now, this was a man who actually always had a problem with handwriting. He didn't know why. And years ago, people used to write script almost as if it was calligraphy. It was so.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And he didn't understand it. But for some odd reason, he could not write like other people. His letters were off. They weren't pretty. He said in those days, you were ostracized. If you did not have good handwriting, you were lazy or stupid, or you just weren't up to par. So after, you know, when he got a little bit older, he decided that he would look into handwriting to see what was what. And actually, he found out that he had a physical issue. He had a tremor in his hand. And it was because of this disability that he really went from hospital to hospital, collecting handwriting of people who were ill with various things. And amazingly, he actually saw that if you look under a microscope, I mean, most handwriting analysts will use a magnifying glass to look at script. But he actually went one step further, went with a microscope, and he was able to see when people had cancer.
Oh, my God.
But you know,
well, which is another, like almost a validation. You know, like I said, Gary says, everything is energy. And so certainly when we write something, it comes from our energy field. And I can, wow, that is fascinating. Isn't that something?
Well, you know what was even more amazing? Obviously, he studied this for many, many years, but he found out, or he actually saw cancer in people's handwritings 10 years before they were diagnosed with cancer.
What?
Yes. Which I thought was absolutely amazing. But you
know,
what to me was also amazing was this. So he went, once he, you know, really had all the information together, he went to different doctors and different places to see if they would like him to work with them, you know, for their patients.
Yeah.
But guess what? They didn't want him. The only people that wanted to hire him were the insurance companies.
Of course. It's all about the money.
It's all about the money. Because then they would have people fill out their form for the insurance.
Oh, my God.
And if he saw that they had cancer in their writing, they would not insure them.
Oh, can you believe it?
It was really amazing, because he thought he would be helping doctors, but then he found out, no, that's not the way things work. So I will tell you that when it comes to handwriting, a lot of people don't understand that actually when you write, it's your brain writing. You don't even think about what you're writing. Everything goes through your central cortex. And your central cortex actually is the gray matter that they talk about. But, you know, your language comes there, memory comes there, just everything comes from there. When you first learn how to write a letter, you're focused on how to write that letter when you're a young child in school. But after that, once you know how to write, it just flows right through you. And your Cortex is also your nerve ending. So everything, even your personality, is in your cortex. So I will just say that when you write, you don't even realize what you're writing. So when it came to looking at other diseases, it was also found that other things were detectable, again, even in an earlier stage.
Wow.
And so I figured I would tell you a little bit about what I've learned, because when it comes to our handwriting, I want to tell you that we have three zones that our handwriting is in. So think of it like this. Think of the middle zone as being the letters like M, O, N, anything that's just in the middle. Okay.
Yes, right.
Then we have the upper zone, and that would include like an H, an L, a B, something with an upper loop.
So right.
Upper T. Zone. Exactly. Then the lower zone are G's and Y's. And
right.
P's. So we have three zones in our handwriting. Now, through the years, what I have found, if I see something unusual, if it is in the upper zone, it usually is telling me that something is, not right. Sort of, I'll just say from the head up. Okay. So in other words, in the upper part of your body. If I see something that's a little off in the middle zone, it's usually that there's something, you know, around your stomach or something in the middle of your body that is.
Wow.
And then if something is off from the lower loops, it's usually your legs. And I'll give you a couple of for instances, which I thought was interesting. First, I did find out years ago that you could tell pregnancy in handwriting. Now, obviously, I'm telling people, still get your pink tests or whatever. I'm not trying to say, you know, you can detect it yourself, but I'll tell you what to look for, and I'll just give you an idea or a feeling as to how you do that. Obviously, when you're pregnant, it's in your stomach area, right? So,
right.
If you look at your handwriting, and if you're pregnant, there's usually a little round blotch that will appear on your, like, let's say the letter O, there'll be a blotch. Now, what's interesting, it has been shown that, let's say, if someone wants to do this at home now, let's say you just on a piece of paper, make two eggs, put down sideways. Now, if there is a blotch on the right side of the egg, that typically means you're going to have a boy. If there's a blotch on the left side, it typically means you're going to have a girl.
Oh my gosh.
And it seems so amazing, but it's worked out so many times. People have been doing handwriting for a while, you know, have seen that. Now, I was very fortunate because I used to teach school many years ago. And when I was younger, I had one particular girl who was in my class who was one of my best students. She was great. She did so wonderfully. And then all of a sudden, she was failing every test. And I'm thinking something's going on. So once I tried talking to her a little bit, but I could tell she was a little emotionally distraught and something was going on. And, you know, and you're a teacher, you know, you're not supposed to delve into people's problems. Well, I decided instead of, talking to her, what I'm going to do is look at her handwriting. And sure enough, clear as day, she was pregnant. I used to teach high school. So it turns out, I thought, okay, now I know what's going on. And actually, she and I always had a great rapport until, you know, I knew something was going on, obviously, and she was failing everything. And the next day, after class, I said, you know, would you mind coming to speak to me later? I just have a quick thing to tell you about or speak to you about. And she came, and I told her, I said, listen, you know, I know that you're going through a tremendous time. I know you're pregnant. I told her that. And if you have something you want to share with me or whatever, I'm here to help. Well, she went, broke down, hysterical crying. And, you know, she told me, you know, about her relationship, et cetera, et cetera. And this was all from her handwriting. This was all.
Isn't that something?
I mean, the first thing she said was, who told you? You know?
Well, it's right here in black and white.
Right. And you're going to have a girl. So it turns out.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, it was really amazing. So I will tell you, to me, you know, the more I got involved with handwriting, I started then again looking for signs of health. Now, years ago, let's see, because I had vein problems, I had some of my veins taken out of my legs. Well, mm-hmm. not even thinking about it, you know, I started writing, and one day I realized that my lower loops were missing. When I did a loop, actually, there was an area missing. And I realized, yes, of course, because I'm missing
wow.
those points.
It was in my goodness.
Yep, it was in the lower handwriting. It was in the Y's, you know, and the G's. And mm-hmm. so to me, I thought this was so, so interesting. Now, again, there are people who work with microscopes and very technical things, which I never have done. I just sort of look at things that maybe would be a little more obvious.
Mm-hmm. And you probably use your own intuition, which I know you have must expanded that aspect of yourself over the years.
So, you know, for instance, what I've learned through the years are, you know, there are certain diseases that obviously are easier to spot, you know, without a magnifying glass or anything. For
yes.
instance, people have Parkinson's disease, you know, they shake. And so
yes.
Their motor skills are not working as well. And so you'll see little tremors in that.
Mm-hmm.
I found out that also with people who have studied the handwriting of a lot of people with Parkinson's disease, they will see that also for some reason, their handwriting gets smaller and they call it micrographology. It's almost like they start writing a lot smaller. And again, there are tremors, you know, within that.
Mm. Mm.
Now, people who have studied, full force with the microscopes, et cetera, have also seen things like tuberculosis in handwriting.
Mm. Wow.
And what they will see is this. Now, when you start writing, most people write on a straight line and sort of try to keep on that line. Well, with people with tuberculosis, they tend to start the first word sort of aiming up towards the sky, and then they get into the middle of the sentence, and then they start going down.
Mm.
And it has been believed that it's almost like a breath, you know, they're struggling to breathe.
Oh, right.
They go up with their line, you know, their line, mm-hmm. and then at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that that was really interesting. Now, also, unfortunately, we have a lot of people who are autistic, and you could also see that in handwriting. Basically, autistic children, I say it's children, but obviously many have grown up already, and it is shown that a lot of these children, first of all, the way they pace their writing is not, you know, like a regular pace that normal people usually write with. Also, they have a problem figuring out where a letter starts and where it should end. So let's say they want to write the letter N. They'll start it, and then in the middle of the top of the N, they'll stop it. You know, so these are little things that have been shown through the years.
Mm-hmm.
Now with Alzheimer's disease, I thought this was really interesting. Now, again, I don't want anybody to go out there and say, oh my God, I have Alzheimer's. No, no, no. Again, you need a real professional, again,
yes.
someone with a, you know, magnifying glass and a microscope, mm-hmm. or whatever. But people who have Alzheimer's, a lot of times their handwriting starts getting what I'll just say lazy looking. You know, they're not really making it as pretty as they used to.
Mm.
And as things progress, you know, they're making a lot of spelling mistakes. They'll go over things again, you know, a lot of repetition of things. But what I thought was really interesting was this. I found out that that's another disease that has been able to be diagnosed in handwriting 10 years before it is diagnosed at, you know, at a physician's office. So I thought.
So that those are signs of dementia. Is that what you're saying?
Right, right. And it's funny because I know there's a difference between dementia and Alzheimer's. I was told that Alzheimer's is a potential of having someone get dementia, but other things also cause dementia. I know that there's a difference, and I'm not a physician, and you know, so I don't mm-hmm. know specifics, but I do know that when it came to Alzheimer's, they actually saw that 10 years once they went back in people's handwritings. See, what they did is this, when I say what they did, but a lot of the researchers who have been studying these things for years, they actually would go, let's say, to their medical records from, let's say, when they started with a particular doctor 15, 20 years before. And what they would do is they would look at all the forms that were filled out through the years. And then that's the way they were doing it for Alzheimer's. So then they would see, it's almost like they go reverse engineering. It's almost like, okay, it's Alzheimer's. And now let's go back through the records to see at what point it started. And by doing that, they actually found that they actually could see the beginning of that 10 years before the doctor saw that. I thought that was really amazing.
That is.
You know, so to me, I know that handwriting has so much to it. And I know there's so much more we can find out because it was considered a pseudoscience for many years, especially in the United States. People in Europe be a little bit more open-minded about it. Years ago, there was, a big opening, I will just say, in the graphology field where people would accept the fact that handwriting shows things. But a lot of businesses started using it in, I was told, in England, where they'd look at applicants for jobs and they would actually use handwriting analysts. But it wasn't really studied that much as Alfred actually did with all of his research. But Alfred was really the one who started it all. But one thing I do want to share with you is this, just because obviously, we all are here to help with trying to find out information about health. I recently saw a TED talk with someone Alzheimer's.
Wow.
She didn't say what her background was, but she obviously must have been a professional because she had a lot of fancy words that she used.
Yes.
And I will tell you that what she found out dealing with Alzheimer's is that even if you have the beginning of Alzheimer's, even if you have things that show that you're heading in that direction, you will not have to actually suffer from Alzheimer's if you continue learning. So she said what she found out was the secret of people preventing themselves from getting Alzheimer's, even if they have the physical ailments that come is to continually learn.
And wow.
She said, if people keep reading books, if people, take classes on things.
Learn to play an instrument.
Exactly. And she specifically said things that you should learn are things that are new to you. And so I just wanted to share that because
that's again, very good.
You know, I thought that was great information over there.
Wow.
Now, then, also when it comes to diseases with your heart. Now, your heart obviously would be in the middle zone of your body, but because the heart actually is where you get like an impulse, every few seconds. In your handwriting, if people have heart issues, a lot of times they'll actually have like little dots in certain places because that's where their heart stopped or jolted, whatever. So it will be all over your body. That's one of the places where it's not just in the mid zone, but you'll see it in different places. Things will be jerky because your pulse actually will be shown in your handwriting there. So I wanted to tell you about that. And you'll see also sometimes with heart that people have problems when they make their upstrokes. They can't seem to connect with the downstroke. I guess the pulse may pull that apart. So let's say you want to write just an L in cursive. So obviously you do the upstroke, and then sometimes what happens is by the time it gets to the upstroke, there's like a little dot or a little separation or something. And that's the pulse not pulsing exactly right.
Oh my goodness. I mean, the details of it are just so fascinating, and I wish that, we were not just audio so that these things could be shown. And if you wouldn't mind maybe suggesting, some possible books or things like that that people could pick up to, get more into the visual part of what you're expressing.
There's one book I highly recommend, and it's called You Are What You Write.
Wow.
Again, You Are What You Write. And it is actually written by Huntington Hartford, who was a well-known millionaire years ago. And this was something he really was interested in. And that's probably one of the books that I started with health. Obviously, there are others out there, but to me, I like the way he expressed things. So that is one book that I think is really terrific. It's funny because I recently read another book, but I didn't think it was as terrific. So I just want to recommend You Are What You Write.
And since we're kind of on this, aspect, are you still doing handwriting analysis? Is that something people could contact you about?
Yes, it's really funny because it was my passion for a long time, and I had a website called Holistic Handwriting. But I will tell you, when I moved to Sedona, I just fell in love with the area and started doing tours. And then the tours have been so busy. I do meditation tours, vortex tours, and UFO tours that unfortunately I closed down my website because I was so busy doing these things. But if anybody has a particular issue or something or wants to get in touch with me, they could go to besttoursofsedona.com, and my email is besttoursofsedona@gmail.com. So
beautiful. That's pretty easy. Best Tours of Sedona. Okay. I have friends who have a lot of other tour companies, but this I don't think is owned by them. That's the John Bradshaw Contingency and Surreal Chioza. So that's very generous of you to, have that available for people. And, as you were speaking, I started writing down what you said, and all of a sudden I'm looking at my handwriting trying to go, what is that thing? As a little aside, by chance, had you done an analysis of Tiffany's handwriting? Was there any indicator?
It's funny. I did it many, many years ago. And I don't remember what I said, except for she told me I was right on. I think in those days I was doing more personality traits. And And I know it was funny when she came recently to visit me here. She said, "Oh my God, you were right on. You'll have to analyze my handwriting again," which I was happy to do. But then, you know, it was almost like you have a certain amount of time and you have 100 things you want to do, and there's never enough time. So she'll have
never enough time, never.
But, you know,
yes. Mm-hmm, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and I just wanted to also say that you could also see mental illness in handwriting as well.
Oh, my.
Yes. And I just want to, there was one thing I was hoping I could share if we have time left.
Please, we do.
Okay, fine. You know, nowadays, unfortunately, we have so many people suffering from depression. Let's face it, we all have been going through a tough time. And And I was told there are more suicides now than ever before.
And alcoholism and drug overdose. People are just, you know, leaving the planet faster than ever in these insane times. So, yes. So you were saying.
So what I would like to tell people, and these are things you don't need a magnifying glass, but you could see yourself. If you have suspicions that someone is really sinking emotionally, let me tell you what to look for, okay? First off, when you write a capital I will tell you that that is how you see yourself. So if you see someone writing a capital I and it's very small, that's a sign that they're not feeling good about themselves.
Mm.
That's not the only sign to look for. I just want to give you a heads up.
That's a very good tip. Yeah.
There are actually three things to look for. Okay. And if this person has these three things, I feel like, you know, if you could get them to a therapist or talk to them, et cetera, that would be good. So a very small capital I, they're not feeling good about themselves. Also, when a person writes, if they start off on the line and then all of a sudden the handwriting goes down below the line, it's a sign of depression. So if they have that capital I small and they show your handwriting goes down and down, that's another sign. And the third sign is this. I will explain to you that when it comes to the letter E, and as the letter E finishes a word, let's say the word time, T-I-L-E. Now, what the ending of the E can show us is a lot. Now, think of the ending of the letter E as it ends a word as your arm, okay? Now, if you end the letter E with a nice big upswing, it usually means you're very generous, you're giving. It's almost like your arm is giving. If you have it to where it's up a little bit higher, it's usually that you're a person who is spiritual. But if you have the ending of an E where the end goes all the way up, straight up, that's a sign for help.
Wow.
So if you're seeing, again, the capital I is small, the depression going downwards, and then the E where it goes straight up, it's like help, a sign for help, like they're drowning.
Wow.
Just wanted to at least throw that in.
That's good. Yeah. And I mean, you know, when you start talking about specifics like that, you know, it becomes so fascinating. And I think something that, you know, whoever might be listening might, you know, begin to really create an interest that could be a lifetime passion, even, you know. Now, you know, I'm curious because I've had a lot of people in my life, mostly men.
Well, you're gorgeous, that's why.
Well, thank you. But, you know, my former husband, you know, things like that, they printed. What's up with people who print?
Well, actually, when it comes to printing, that shows someone who has a strong desire to communicate.
Oh!
Yes, they want to be clear about what they're saying and what they're doing. So that's why they take the time to do that. Now, when it comes to printing, I will also tell you that that allows them to be more psychic. When you see someone, when you see someone's handwriting, if every single letter is connected to each other, it doesn't let their intuition in. However, if there are breaks in between letters, that allows intuition to come to play as well. So that's what that's all about.
Oh, I'm so glad I asked, because I think my very first boyfriend, Ralph, he was a printer. He printed. And certainly, you know, my former husband and partners I've had, that's very interesting that I would have so many of that kind of, you know, close connection with people who that, you know, have that type of handwriting. That's fascinating. Wow.
Well, another thing I want to throw in, if we have a couple of minutes, is
we do.
Okay. So what it is this. It turns out a lot of people don't know that because your brain is writing when you write, actually you can change yourself. It's called graphotherapeutics. By changing your handwriting.
Oh my God. So this is so exciting, Sheila.
Well, I'll throw this in because I have worked with people who had low egos. And remember, I told you the small capital I is what the person feels about themselves.
Yes.
This sounds easy, but it's actually tough to do. If you start teaching someone to make the I bigger, and they have to practice it. It is tough to change your handwriting. Mm. It will actually increase the value that they feel about themselves. You can actually change, yes, you can change a person's personality by changing their handwriting. And again, it sounds easy, but it's not, because it's your brain that's writing. So now what you're doing is you're doing it in reverse. You're trying to trigger your brain.
That's fabulous. That, yeah, because I'll share with you, years ago, you know, I'm an artist and many forms of creativity are just something I was, you know, blessed with. And I don't know how many years ago, but a lot of years ago, I wanted to create my signature, you know. And when I did, I just, you know, started playing with it. And when I got it to the place where I really felt that that represented me, it was my, you know, a big K, Kathleen Francis, right? A big K. And then it was like, it looked like a wave. And then the dot from my I in Francis, I made into a bird, a little bird. And you know, I honestly think that when I did that, it made an impact on me. I can verify that. When I made that definite decision to create, you know, a statement with my, you know, with my signature, it had an impact. I know it did.
Well, that was showing your artistic creative ability. And when to signatures, I will tell you a little bit about that. It turns out if somebody writes their first name and it's small and then their last name bigger, that usually means that they are very proud of their family. They don't feel as important as the rest of the family. If they write their first name big and the second name smaller, it shows that their value is more about themselves and, you know, not as much with the rest of the family. Again, there's a psychology that goes into it. And I know that I recently was, you know, reading some more about handwriting, because basically it's a never ending kind of thing. You learn all your life. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there was someone online who was trying to teach people how to be more powerful. And it was funny because he was telling everybody to underline their names, you know, like make a stance.
Oh, interesting.
And he said, underline your name, underline your signature. And, you know, but everybody has different philosophies. And when people write their name to where it's illegible, a lot of times it's a matter of it's showing that they don't really want people to get to know them so well.
Mm-hmm.
So again, there's so much that, you know, is to it. But what I told you about graphotherapeutics, where if you change your handwriting, you can change your personality or who you are. This is something that I've always wondered. If that's the case with personalities, if someone practices a certain way of writing their handwriting, can they get rid of a disease?
I was just going to ask you that.
It's almost like with Parkinson's disease, again, there's a lot of tremors, but I wonder if the person actually started, you know, writing and, you know, without the tremor, you know what I mean? And
yes,
not having it, you know, go back and forth like this, can it heal them? I don't know, but that's a question I have for people who are advanced in this field.
Yes, yes. But you know, whenever there's an imbalance, which is what disease is, of course,
right.
I always feel like if I get a little sore throat, I don't think, well, what one good thing could work? I throw everything at me. I pull out my elderberry and echinacea and golden seal and everything. I throw it all on. Whenever I feel that little bit of imbalance in my body, I address it with a passion, you know? And this could be one more aspect of being able to address what you're talking about to, you know, to have an impact. That's exciting to me.
I know. I had thought about that, but, you know, I don't know who to go to exactly. I mean, IGAS has.
All right, Gary Null, are you listening? Are you listening? Earth to Gary. Are you there?
Obviously, these studies take a lot of money. They take a lot of time.
Yes.
You know, so I know that, you know, it wouldn't be a while. But that was something that I had thought of. There's so much more to handwriting, and it's been really a subject that is not talked about a lot. There seems interest in it. You know, when I was younger and I knew handwriting personality, you know, I did fun things. Like if I met someone at a bar, they wanted my phone number, I'd say, give me write your name and your phone number. So I would see their handwriting first.
And
So, you know, and that's what a lot of handwriting people have done through the years. But when it comes to health, boy, there's so much more to explore, especially now that we know there are a couple of diseases that for sure are detectable so early before they happen.
Right. So that they can do the things in advance to divert whatever that bad inclination might be.
Right, exactly.
That's, oh my gosh, Sheila, this is just, I'm just loving this. I mean, really.
Well, I'm glad Tiffany said, we got to go back to that store.
Oh, she's such an angel. And I'm just so, so wanting to see that turnaround for her, because she's, as we know, she's a very, very special woman, a little angel child who walked in with, you know, these wonderful crowns that she created, these, you know, these tiaras that are full of crystals. And then she came back the next day and presented one to me. So I am now Queen Kathleen. I hope everyone understands that and are on their knees immediately right now. Get down there. So, that's just astonishing. I'm just really thrilled with being able to have you come on, you know, to share this really pertinent information too. And you know, I wanted to actually talk a little bit. We have a few minutes, but, I don't know if we have enough minutes to, do you have any, you know, great stories with your UFO tours that we could share with the audience?
Well, I mean, I will tell you that we see a lot of ships every single night.
Every night.
Oh, every night, every single night. And I have a guarantee that if you don't see a UFO, you get your money back. I mean,
Oh my gosh, are you kidding me?
No. I feel like, you know, I want people to experience that. So if they don't have a good experience, obviously, you know, I just don't think it's fair taking their money. So,
I have seen
a ship that all of a sudden split up into four ships. It was a mothership.
Oh, I got shivers. Ooh.
We have ships sometimes that will do what they call power up or brighten up. In other words, they'll be in the sky floating along, and all of a sudden they brighten up their ship like, a bright light bulb.
I've seen that.
And that's their way of saying high five down there.
Wow. And I've seen them shoot, you know, I mean, it's like, well, you know what I'm talking about. I've it's fascinating. Yes. And yeah, then, so www.besttoursofsedona.com. Yes, ma'am.
And also, you know, I've had it to where, I'm very fortunate to be connected with someone who's very galactically connected. She speaks to a lot of people from different places on a regular basis, okay? Very in tune. And she told me, she said, you know what? The Galactics told me tonight she said, at your tour tonight, they're going to do something special. Well, the tour was pretty much over. I was starting to pack up. There were just a few people left. And all of a sudden, a ship comes by and shines a light down right on me.
No way!
She told me, make sure you wear your gold jacket so they'll know, you know.
Oh boy, I got shivers on that one. Oh my gosh.
You said they were going to do something special, but I just assumed it was, you know, in the height of my tour, but it was while I was packing up with a few people still there. And so I've seen so many things that, you know, it's just amazing. It really is. So I've been very blessed because our space brothers have been performing for us every night.
Well, you and I are going to have long talks about this, but you know, right next to my store there in Old Town, the bookstore had been there for years with all those phenomenal books. Do you remember that?
Few times, and I know it was David Hatchis Childress's mother who.
Correct. And yes, that was their building, and they just, you know, about a year ago sold it right after COVID because, you know, well, that's, you know.
That whole area shut down.
Yes. And I mean, people loved, they had, you know, the blow up doll aliens in the window, and it was a well loved shop. Because it had such a collection of just the most interesting books.
Right. Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
What I'm known for is telling the truth. I will really, in other words, when people come to my tours, they don't just see UFOs. I tell them what's really going on in the world.
Yep.
Some things that they'll never hear any other place because.
Yes, well, I'm sure I'm going to give you a whole bunch of cards with Gary Null's information. He certainly tells the truth Monday through Friday, noontime, on Eastern Standard Time. And, I'll give you some cards to hand out to people because I know that, you know, that's what we're all about here. Yeah.
Yes,
well, I'm afraid we're getting close to the end of this episode of Wise Women. And I was a very wise woman myself. Well, maybe I'm a few women, who knows? But it was wise of me to invite you on as my guest. This far exceeded my expectations, Sheila. So I can't thank you enough. Sheila Neese, who is a wonderful, wonderful asset, I think, to anybody that meets her, knows her, has the opportunity to share time with her, and even more, to explore new possibilities with her wonderful background, her ability to open her mind to new ideas and new frontiers, shall we say. And I can't thank you enough for coming on my show.
And I feel so blessed that you invited me. And I hope I'm here to help people like you are. So that's our goal. And I hope everybody out there also feels the same way. We're put on earth to help others.
That's what I feel every day. In fact, that's my prayer every morning when I'm in the shower. I have my little conversation with God and tell him I'm here, ready to serve. Oh, well, thank you again. And I look forward to actually seeing you. And I get that opportunity that I wish everybody else could. But, you know, people can come to Sedona and for sure get to meet you and experience all the wonderful things we've talked about today. And with that, I would like to thank everyone in our listening audience for tuning in once again to Wise Women. I thank Gary Null for creating this podcast so that we can share these wonderful moments with the world. And I hope the whole world is listening. And if they're not yet, well, they will soon. And with that, I wish you all to have a wonderful week ahead. Many blessings coming your way. Get out there and create and be inspiring and make a difference and live a remarkable life, because that's what makes life worth living. And with that, I say, everyone, bye-bye.